Are you curious about the new earth and what that's really going to look like? I mean, what does it mean when people talk about this whole 5D ascension thing and the new earth and how there's going to be two earths? And do we really believe that? Maybe you do. I struggle with that. But in this episode, my guest is a shaman who explains how this is all going to work for the very first time in a way that I actually get it. And if you want to get it too, stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Ronnie Ann Ryan, your go-to intuitive coach bringing real talk to the mystical realm on the Breathe, Love, and Magic podcast. Feel like the universe or your spirit guides aren't delivering? Maybe you're confused by esoteric lingo or which healing method to try. Well, you're in the right place, because who has time for confusion when you're trying to build a business, find love, heal and recover, or leave your partner or job? I'll turn that mumbo-jumbo into clear, actionable steps that fit easily into your life. So buckle up, open that heart chakra, and let's cut through the cosmic fluff together, shall we? Good fortune favors the bold and those who aren't afraid to call it like they see it, right here on the Breathe, Love, and Magic podcast. Do you ever get inklings, a little hunch about something, or a thought that floats through your mind? This is your intuition showing up with a message from your higher self or spirit. If you'd like to learn how to tap into your intuition, I've got just the thing. Introducing my new book, Inklings, a quick guide to your intuitive gifts. You'll identify your natural intuitive style, find out what might be in the way, learn how to prepare yourself for the best results, and get three super easy exercises to build your skills. The best part is it's my gift to you. Download your copy now by going to intuitiveedge.biz/inklings and have fun working with your intuition.
Hi, this is Ronnie, and before I jump into this incredible episode, I just want to give a shout out to some incredible women who I have met in the last week or so who listened to the podcast and had the bioenergetic clearing sessions. And let me tell you, meeting some of my listeners was such a fun and amazing experience. I can't even say how excited I was. So I just want to say hi to Holly and Maya, Andrea, Claire, and Wendy. Thank you so much. What a pleasure it was to work with you and to meet you. And to all the other listeners, thank you too for being there, for listening, and for spreading the word, for sharing the podcast with your friends so that more people can learn about the mystical, magical side of life and the practical aspects of using the tools. And just a quick reminder that the bioenergetic clearing special of 50 minutes for $50 goes on through the end of April. So if you're interested, you can go to intuitiveedge.biz/bioenergetic-clearing or look in the show notes. That's the easy way. All right, now on with the show. On today's episode of the Breathe, Love, and Magic podcast, I'm speaking with Carrie Hummingbird, medicine woman, mother, and mentor. She's the founder of the Inner Medicine Training, a mystery school that shares potent ancient traditions from the Andes and Himalayas for owning your wisdom and living your purpose. She's the number one international best-selling author of Inner Medicine, Become One with Mother Earth for the Survival of Humanity, and that's been on the international best-selling charts for over 29 weeks. And the second wave, Transcending the Human Drama, that's been on the international best-selling charts for over 242 weeks. That's just crazy. As the host of Soul Nectar Show, Carrie inspires people to lead their lives wide awake. As a healer and mentor, she catalyzes mind shifts that transform life challenges into gifts and wisdom. Welcome, Carrie.
Oh, thanks for having me, Ronnie. I'm excited to be here.
I don't even know where to start. There's so much going on here. I love that you help people connect to Mother Earth. And I would love for you to tell me a little bit more about that. You know, what that means. How do you do that?
A lot of us go for hikes in nature, right? So that's connecting to Mother Earth. We feel like we're connected in. We go maybe on a trek up a mountain, or we get quiet because we're out with the trees and the rocks and the animals and the birds. And so it feels good. And then we kind of just leave it there. Like, that's enough. But there's more. There's so much more. And we can access that so much more by learning really what the indigenous people have always known, which is that Mother Earth is awake. She's conscious. She's a being of light. We are in her body, so to speak. We're in her auric field. We're created from her materials. We are created from the fire, the water, the earth, and the air. And all of life is connected in this beautiful planet. And so when we can make that into an embodied realization rather than just like a concept, then we're really starting to get it because we feel it, perceive it, and know it inside of our bodies. And that's really the journey that I help people go to, is getting down inside their bodies, really understanding that their body is Mother Earth and that she's always talking to us through our bodies. She's always right there present inside of us, that quiet, still voice within. We can listen, we can get wisdom, we can ascend our consciousness, you know, when we just choose to take that journey. And pretty much any mystery school, that's what that is about, like taking you on that journey. Any kind of indigenous practices or wisdom, that's also going to take you to this realization. That's what I bring people to. And that's what the journey I've taken for myself.
And is that what inner medicine, becoming one with Mother Earth?
Well, yeah, essentially, because when we connect with Mother Earth and we embody as our souls, we bring our soul and our consciousness down into the body, we have the embodied realization of being all that is. What happens is we're operating from those higher brains, what I'm calling the love minds. We're operating from, you know, the heart consciousness. We're operating from the corpus callosum, from the frontal cortex. And then we'll make very different decisions from those minds and from being connected to the planet than we do when we're in separation, fear, and operating from our lower reptilian and limbic brains. We make really, really different decisions. When we're tapped in, connected in with Mother Earth, we get the wisdom we need in order to make better decisions, navigate not only for ourselves, but for all of life on the planet becomes our concern. How is my choice creating health and wealth and prosperity 7 generations from now, not only for my descendants, but for all the life on the planet, because we're all connected? If we don't have bees, we don't have life, right? Eventually that goes away. So we start to realize the relevance of all of the species. And it's not just about us as humans or me and my family or my individual concerns, but it's really about the bigger picture. And we get to that on this path.
I hear a lot of people talking about 7 generations back, 7 generations forward. And when I studied a process called soul intelligence, I learned about doing ancestral clearing and that kind of thing. And they talk about 7 generations back, 7 forward. And I'm curious if you know, what's the origination? Why 7? Why is that important?
Well, that's a really good question. I just know it's true. It could just be the number 7 is a powerful number, but I've experienced it in my own life where, and I know your audience is familiar with past lives, but I became aware that in one of my previous incarnations, a very significant incarnation was in my ancestral line, in this exact same line that I'm in right now through my mother, and that I was incarnated at the time, 7 generations ago at the time of the Trail of Tears, because my ancestor was Cherokee. He was a medicine man, okay, on the Trail of Tears. And so 7 generations forward, here am I. In the Inner Medicine book, I had this really powerful ceremony with this aspect of myself in this former life, where I just allowed him to type, basically to write through me how he feels about my journey, you know, my awakening and my heart waking up. And the words that came through really touched me. Actually, it was hard to write it because it brings up a lot of emotion.
Yeah.
But it's like really powerful to hear his joy that through the suffering of what our ancestors went through, that the wisdom didn't die, that the heart stayed open, that like the fire was still lit in my heart, and that he dreamed me into being 7 generations from his life. It was like almost like his parting gift on the Trail of Tears, is I'm dreaming into being my great, 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 great granddaughter 7 generations from now to carry this torch at a time when people would be more open. Just accepting and surrendering the current circumstance, to have this ability to connect with that aspect of myself as my ancestor. There's so many feelings around that, you know, it's so powerful in that experience. And so I just know that it is possible because here I stand, and that I can connect with this aspect, and that he's taught me a lot about healing. I've learned from 3rd dimensional teachers in my reality today about healing. I've gone to several different shamanic healing schools and learned, but I've learned so much just inside from my ancestor, who taught me like a lot of what he says everything, you know, but a lot of what I know about healing. It's very powerful. This is the kind of thing where you just have an embodied knowing of it. And that's just that.
I was just curious. I think Jane Roberts wrote a book called something like The Education of Oversoul 7. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
And no.
What that book was about is kind of what you're talking about. The Oversoul was watching all of the incarnations going on at the same time, and they just talked about seven of them, and how if little things changed in one thing, how it dominoed to change in all of those lives, you know, and they were all connected based on the theory, which is hard for some people, even me, that there is no time, you know, so everything's actually happening right now. For him from seven generations ago to be connecting with you, you're the same soul.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's true. We uplift the timeline. On our journey together, what I was doing was helping him to heal and come into acceptance of what he was experiencing. And it was deep and dark. I was feeling in my life for about 6-7 years, this just tremendous grief. It was like in that life, I didn't have the ability to process all that grief. You can imagine the chaos of the environment, feeling this sense of deep responsibility for all of my people. And I just was not able to process all of that in that life. I just didn't have the tools or the space to do that. But now in this life, I had the space. And so it was really powerful to feel all of that. I mean, I felt just like I was right there. So I would say that there is no time except when we're in the Pacha. And so this is a teaching from the Caro people in the Andes Mountains, which is that the Pachamama, and you probably heard that word, the Pachamama, what does that mean? It means the mother of time and space. And so when we are embodied in the Pachamama, we are in the intersection of time and space. And so we experience time. The medicine person learns how to transcend time through the hummingbird consciousness and the eagle consciousness. These are also aspects of brain. When we are in our fully immersed in our human experience, we are operating from the limbic brain and the reptilian brain, most of humanity today, right? So that's why we have human dramas and the triangle of disempowerment and all this kind of war and strife and everything that doesn't seem to ever resolve itself. There's no self-awareness, capital S. There's just like the small personality leads the show.
So when you say capital S, you mean like any sense of community?
Soul, like
soul, okay.
Soul, spirit, self, you know?
Yeah.
There's no sense of that. There's just us versus them, right? So that we see that in the world today. It's all over the place. So that's the lower consciousness. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. When I say lower, I just mean it's the fear minds. It's like the lower spectrum. I'm just a human and all I am is a body. That perspective leads to certain outcomes. And we've been karmically experiencing those over the last several thousand years, you know, as we've not been aware of ourselves at a higher levels. Now with the opportunity with the Great Awakening is that we receive these higher brains. We receive the frontal cortex and the corpus callosum brains, the hummingbird energy and the eagle energy to open up our consciousness and allow us access beyond the veil, beyond our understanding of ourselves as only a body in just this lifetime. And that's it. We're opening up that access. And that gives us a whole new playground. It's a lot of integration and reconciliation of like what you're doing with people, you know, reconciliation of past lives. And how can I come to peace with all this mayhem that got created when I forgot who I was? And, you know, all of that. So we're cleaning it all up, you know, so we created a big mess in the kitchen floor. And Mama Earth is like, can you guys please clean up your mess? Okay, yeah, sure. We were playing pretend for a while and we forgot, you know, and now we're going to clean up the mess. And so that's what we're doing. We're cleaning it up.
Oh, I'm tired just thinking about it.
It's a big mess.
Then what's the second wave transcending the human drama about? Because it sounds like there's a lot of human drama.
We all know there is. You know, we look around the world. There's all kinds of human drama. Yes, it's obvious. Absolutely. That's a given. That's what's going on right now. And so what we're doing is transcending it. And not to say like judging it or blaming it or shaming it or trying, you know, no, we're just transcending it. So when we go to Eagle, we get the higher perspective of our soul and we see everything through soul eyes. So when we see our current incarnation through the eyes and lens of the soul, we bring all those high frequencies down with that, you know, compassion, humanity, patience, stillness, timelessness. Like we bring all of that down into the human experience and things go really differently. We're not operating from the same lower minds. They're still active and present, but we learn how to discern between like those minds, which one's active right now, who's, you know, who's alive right now in this moment in my mind. What we want to do is open up that higher consciousness. And then we come from that frequency, everything shifts. And so the second wave are those souls who said, this looks really interesting to come to Earth at the time of the Great Awakening, when everyone remembers who they are in truth and then has to face all the karmic stuff that they created previously and clean up the mess. That looks like fun. I want to go do that. Not only do I want to do it, But I want to guide other people through it. So I want to be a way shower. I want to be a hand holder. I want to be in service to those who maybe never been incarnated as human and woke up this higher knowledge of themselves and their higher brains. Like this might be their first time waking up and in a human body. And I want to like be there to guide them through it so that they don't wreck their car while they realize who they are. And I want to help. So we had lots of star seeds from around creation that said, this looks really interesting. I want to come at this time. We all chose our own curriculum. You've probably dealt with soul pods, right? So what normally happens on Earth is that souls incarnate into soul pods and come down and then have repeating life times with each other changing roles, right? Yeah. They're just like father, mother, sister, brother, whatever. And they just take different configurations and have lots of lifetimes. Well, the second wave soul pod came to Earth and spread out. We inserted ourselves in all these different family systems, which is why you felt like the weirdo. You know, your whole life, if that's you, it was like, I'm the black sheep of the family. So I like to reframe that as the rainbow sheep, because you probably felt totally alone the whole time you were here. What is going on this crazy planet? How come that I'm the only one that knows that's not how you treat someone? I don't understand. I'm confused. What's going on with you people? And because you had that sense of like, something's out of place, you know, like this is not correct. Is since you woke up to that and you realized it really early, you started seeking solutions. Yes, there's got to be a remedy for this. And then you started studying and figuring out all these modalities and preparing yourself. You just didn't know you were preparing yourself for the time when everybody else is going to wake up. So we're all in position now. We're ready. We're all ready for everyone to wake up. And people are waking up. You know, there's enough catalyst and pressure that people are so uncomfortable that they'd rather do anything than stay uncomfortable that way. And that's really the solution. When somebody gets that desperate, that's when they open to their spirit. We're ready for everyone now. We're like, yahoo, let's do it. We've all in place. We've been, some of us have been ready for like a couple of years now. Come on, like, you know, like counting on the clock, like, come on, like, you know, wake up already. The clock is ticking. Really, it's not, because it's timelessness. We have plenty of time. I mean, we can do this for a really long time, or we'd rather, you know, shift into the next potential. That's what we're doing. We've been doing it a lot longer than we think we've been doing it, because it takes time to prepare for such a thing as this. It takes lifetimes to get ready for this. And so a lot of us who knew that we were going to say yes to this, we've had many lifetimes already preparing us to be in service in this way at this time, because we had to incarnate and collect all the bits of wisdom and gifts and everything in these other lifetimes that we would need now so that we could be doing this now.
A lot of people talk about ascension. I hear a lot of what I consider to be crazy promises. So are you talking about if you're waking up, there's ascension, or what does it mean? Like, okay, we're all here and some of us are ready. So now what?
The first thing we need to really accept fully is that not everyone's going to come along with this. Some are not ready. They're too young, or they're just obstinate and they're just, no, I'm not going to, or I like having this experience of the suffering. Like some people want that for whatever reason, some souls, they like it. They're not going to have the same reality as us. But the interesting thing is that once you're operating from an open higher consciousness, from your open mind, soul access, and that is permeating your being and it's kind of running the show instead of your fear minds, what happens is that from love, you can accept people as they are. It's really hard to accept people as they are from fear, but from love, you can accept other people as they are. And because you're embodied and you're tapped into the planet and you're connected, you're listening and you're letting yourself be guided. So you're going to be guided to go left instead of right. And then all of a sudden on the right side, there's all this fear and, you know, explosions as they continue their soul's curriculum of death and destruction. That's going to happen over there. We're going to have a different reality. So this already happened. And you probably felt like a strengthening of polarity where the people who are going to this higher brain, this higher love mind, and the people have chosen not to, it's like stratified. And it's more clear, like Hogwarts sorting hat. Some people are still choosing, but a lot of people have chosen. And so you can just tell, like, there's no point in having that conversation with that person.
Yeah. Nope, okay.
They're done. It's really clear. Like, for a while, it wasn't clear, but it's pretty clear now with most people. Like, you look at the person, you're like, yeah, they're not going. That's it. They're done. Like,
so when you say not going, this is where I'm going. I have a hard time imagining that there'll be different existences. I think we'll all be here, but your personal experience and those who you choose to hang around with who have opted for this higher level, but you're still going to be here. And if your kids are going to school, they might be stuck with some people who are in the lower realm. So many people think they're going to be off to some other world. I'm not buying it.
I don't think so. And this is how Richard Rudd describes it. I think it's a valid way of looking at it, is that if you think about Cro-Magnon people, and then when the Neanderthals showed up, like they were both alive on the planet for a long time, right? Simultaneously living on the planet, except not interacting with us at all, right? Yeah. So essentially what's going to happen is that you're just going to see people self-select to be in certain friendships, to be in certain environments, but the love model is going to prevail. And what that means is that anyone who's still here, you've seen it in the school systems where now there's a lot of sensitivity towards people's gender identification and, you know, which is much more love oriented. It's much more unity consciousness, like allowing people to be as they are. That's continuing. But what's going to happen if somebody's staying in fear mind and separation mind is that they're going to take their children out of those schools because they don't want to be influenced by their judgment about these people. And they're going to find themselves in their own school systems, right? So they're going to purposefully take themselves out and put themselves in their own communities. And they're going to keep fostering whatever it is that they're fostering now, which is based in fear, right? So that's going to continue happening. What's going to be interesting is anybody that you run into in your life that is based in fear, once you've made the choice to be in love, that's your curriculum. How can you completely love, unconditionally love, and accept this person just the way they are without trying to fix them or change them? That's our curriculum. So it's not that we're gone from the planet. It's that eventually the fear stuff's going to phase its way out, but it'll take a while. Right, but in the meantime, right. The love is growing and spreading, and that's the new paradigm. The fear people can't help but be influenced by the love mind stuff. As much as they'll try to avoid it or push it away or shun it or whatever, right? That's going to be interesting for them to try to block it, you know, when it keeps growing in force and magnitude. Because what's going to happen is the more people that are heart coherent, the more the field of love grows and the less the fear model has any kind of control. So it's just going to be interesting to see probably a lot of self-combustion and death and dying, suicide or things like that. Like the fear model, like all the things, the way that people self-destruct, that's probably more likely going to happen. Yeah. Because when you open to the love model, your heart opens. And when your heart opens, you become aware of how you've impacted other people through your words and actions. And then there's a lot of self-accountability and there's a lot of pain that can come forward from those realizations, which is why some of the fear mind people are avoiding this. They're like, I'm not ready to find out how terrible I was. You know, I don't want to know.
Right. Let's not look within, right?
Right. I don't want to see that.
Now that you're seeing all this, it sounds very clear from your perspective. And I understand what you're saying for sure. What have you noticed about the people you work with, the people you encounter? What kind of changes? Because obviously you're coming from the ego perspective, right? So you're coming from that higher level. What have you noticed, say, in the last 3 years of doing this work? Because you work with people individually too. And so what have you noticed?
What I notice is that when you move into love consciousness, you not only are more gracious and compassionate in your bodied self, but you also start to have access to magical teachings and wisdoms and rituals and ceremonies and basically your own power and the power of earth and the power of creation, because you've opened to that part of you. So you have access to that now. And now you can use it for the benefit of all. And so that's one of the ways that the love field keeps growing, is that rather than like confronting someone on their perspective or something like that, you'll instead go and work the energy of it, clear yourself, clear the space, bring love to everything, bring forgiveness to everything. You'll be using these other tools and strategies without like talking to the person's ego to like resolve things. And then that person who's fear-minded and doesn't want to change, they won't know what hit them. They'll just be like, well, I don't feel like doing that anymore. So then they just go work with somebody else. So their stuff won't work anymore. So that's what is already happening. I have made so many miracles happen in my life and in my family system from this. So, well, one of the biggest miracles was when my parents are the older generation, right? My mom's 80 now. When I started this path of becoming a medicine woman, my parents thought I was nuts because I was in computer science before and I was an artist. I was nowhere near this. Like, they're like, what are you doing? You're becoming a what? You're a healer? We don't even know what that is. What's a shaman? What? And they thought that was insane. They're like, you're crazy. I started doing that work and I started practicing and I got some really really powerful lessons around, like, don't try to change my dad. My dad had some really bad disease and he was going to die. And it just happened to be the same disease that my grandmother just died from. So I was like, I wonder what the link is there. So I got my dad to give me some permission. I said, okay, dad, you don't have to believe any of this, but just let me, if you don't mind, let me go and see in my class at school if we can separate, you know, her consciousness and send her to the upper world. And he's like, well, I don't even know what any of that means, but okay. You know, I don't believe it, but okay. Well, he doesn't have to believe it. Right. So we went and did the clearing at school, and this drastic, terrible condition that was going to kill him, it just hung out in stasis till the end of his life. He never died from that.
Oh, that is a miracle.
Yeah. He just stuck around. He never died from that.
Was that so, his mother?
That was his mother.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
And then on top of that, my dad finally did pass away in 2017. It was from some other thing. And that was also connected to my soul curriculum. And I think I talk about that somewhere in one of my books. But it's like, it was time for me to take my journey as a messenger and all of this. And my dad is supporting me in the other realm. So he needed to be out of his body so he could support me here. But I was frustrated. I was like, why is this taking so long? You know, I'm ready. Like, it's time, you know, let's get going. Come on. People move, you know, I was like that. I was really impatient. And then I heard this, I was in this meditation and on the road, and I heard this like etheric discussion amongst many souls about what to do. And I heard these voices saying, well, she's not ready. And I said, I am ready. Like, don't tell me. I was so like pissed off. Well, it turned out it wasn't me they were talking about. It was my mom.
Oh.
My mom wasn't ready to be without my dad. And the thing is, like, without my dad in the family system, everything was going to fall apart, because my dad was this huge rock of unconditional love and acceptance. And it was hard for him to be that, but he was able to be that. And so we would be fighting and bickering and he would hold the space, you know, and be like, everything's okay. And so without him there, we fell apart. Our whole family fell apart. And my mom wouldn't talk to me, and everything I would say would piss her off. And then she would say things that would hurt my feelings. And so we just couldn't talk like third dimensionally. So I started working my medicine. And that's when the second book, Love is Fierce, Healing the Mother Wound, came in. So I started doing the ceremonial work with White Buffalo Calf Woman. And I started doing my ceremonies, doing plant medicine, writing the book, learning my lessons. And that went on for 2 years. During the whole time, family division, fights, squabbles, all the stuff. At the end of that time of 6 months, I gave my mom 6 months to review that book before it went live. And I said, I'm not offering to make any changes, but I want you to know what's in the book. What I say is so much gratitude to my mom. I love you so much because of your provocation and because of your always pushing me to not be mediocre, because of your always fighting with me every time I was weak and I would shy away from conflict. Because of all of that, I'm the person I am today. That's where I got to at the end of that book. So of course she was happy. You know, the title makes it seem like something else is going on.
Yeah.
But the truth is, I'm grateful to her now. And ever since that, we had some magical moments where my mom and I both decided on the same day to clear the whole slate.
Oh my gosh, that's insane.
And we started over again as a family.
Wow.
And now she's reading my books. She listens to my Medicine Woman podcast. She gives me feedback. I let her give me feedback. I show her my art. She tells me what she thinks. She gives me edits for things. I give her edits on her book. She's writing a book. We have this amazing relationship now that wouldn't have happened
any other way.
So that's the kind of thing that's going to happen. And so, no, the fear-based people don't need to do anything. They can keep being the way they are. But what you're going to do is interact with them in a totally different way. And that's going to be your love curriculum, is how can I shift this in myself and then change the whole world? That's what we're here for. And that's our curriculum. We don't need them to change because we're already changing it. They can't help but change because we're changing the world. They can't stop it. Like, it's irreversible. So that's what we're doing now. Yeah. So it's going to be a really interesting time for everyone to learn.
Wow. All right. I'm sure that would be hard to whittle this down, but what is the most important thing from your perspective for the listeners to do on a regular basis to help themselves through this process? Because it's a lot.
It is a lot. So I would say be in community with other like-minded people, be in community, practice your earth skills, practice connecting with Mother Earth, work with the elements, the earth, the water, the fire, the air, do your own fire ceremonies, your own releases, take responsibility for yourself and do it in community where there's support, where you can share something that's going on for you and release it. And everyone agrees, like, and so it is, it's done. That's the best thing you can do, is be in supportive community of like power of eight, you know, like in communities where where people are processing and releasing stuff that is going bye-bye.
Wow. I think that makes so much sense, because then you don't feel alienated, you don't feel isolated, you don't feel alone, and you recognize other people are going through similar stuff, or even if it's different, everybody's going through something. So you could really support each other in that process, and that feels so much different than when you just try to go it alone.
Exactly. There's no more lone wolf, right? Like New Earth, if you think about what vision you have in your own heart for what New Earth might look like, what that might mean to you, because you're co-creating New Earth. What does that look like? Then you want to be part of community with other people. We have to learn how to be relational again and stop being so transactional with each other. We've got to be relational. Mm. And we also get to practice the four agreements, you know, be impeccable with your word. Don't take anything personally. Don't make assumptions. Do your best. These are mastery teachings. We get to practice unconditional love and acceptance. And when we do that in community, we model for each other and we reinforce the strength of those practices of mastery. We can catalyze our growth like exponentially through that process. And I'm part of some communities that do that, and it's amazing, as well as my teaching, a community where I teach. We practice these agreements, and you know, it just catalyzes everything.
Yeah.
There's places that are doing this now, communities that are doing this sort of under the radar. It's creating a lot of shift on the planet.
Well, it's so interesting because I have created some of my own community because I haven't found what I wanted. So I created a Akashic Records community. So we all go into the Akashic Records to look at stuff for each other. And I created a manifesting community. I call it the Manifesting Power Hour. And let me just tell you, the people in that group have created some amazing things in their life by working together. Because when you work together, another thing that happens is the energy is amplified dramatically. And that makes a big difference. And so it can ease the path or give you more energy to get through it when you're working with others instead of doing all solo work. And then I was just invited to an intuitive group where they meet and we... It's always the same. Like, what are you working on? What do you need help with? And we go around in a circle. So in a way, that's the mastermind format. And that's why I'm also starting an intuitive mastermind myself. Because I think that as people pull together in these communities, they can recognize their own power so much faster and learn to use it because of the amplification of everybody coming together. It just strengthens it so much, don't you think?
Totally does. And it's that reflection that we need in order to see ourselves more clearly, is that we see each other. When groups come together, there's like common themes that are being worked on. And so it just amplifies everything. When I had a breakthrough with my mom, everybody else in that particular community got a breakthrough because they watched me heal my relationship with my mom. They watched me every week with my mentors doing the work, doing the deep dive, facing all my angers and resentments and stories and false illusions and all of that. And then to see it come to fruition is such a powerful thing to witness that. And then you know it can be done because you just saw it happen.
Yeah.
So it reinforces, it strengthens everything. And it's not a matter of think this could happen. No, I know it's possible. I watched her do it. I was there. That is what, you know, we can do in community together.
Amazing. All right. This was really something.
Yeah.
Wow. Is there any last words you want to say before we wrap up today, Carrie?
I just want to say, bless Mother Earth. If you could just put your hands on Mother Earth and send her love once a day, it would really mean a lot. You know, it's like always, as a mother, I love being thanked and I don't get a lot. So I know that Mother Earth really appreciates us saying thank you a little bit more often. So maybe once a day, just go out from your hands, send love from your heart and say, thank you so much for all my blessings. I love you, love you, love you. Thank you for all your space you're holding and just thank her. She's doing big work right now. She's got a lot on her plate, you know, and we can just send her some grace and love. That'd be helpful.
Yeah. Fabulous. You do have a free gift for the listeners. So just let's talk about that briefly.
So my free gift is the Inner Medicine Meditation Pack, and it includes a grounding meditation, a shielding meditation, and a what's mine, what's theirs meditation. So you can figure out like what's my stuff versus the other person's stuff, because that's happening a lot right now. You know, is this mine or is this theirs? You know, so like a meditation to figure that out and clear the energy that's not yours. There's a lot of things in there. Yeah. So it's really helpful for your day-to-day self-healing. It's on my website, carriehummingbird.com/innermedicine. And my name is Kerri, for anyone's like, how do you spell Kerri?
And we'll put that into the show notes as well. This has been beyond amazing. I can't thank you enough for all of your wisdom that you shared today, your insights, and I really appreciate the time we spent together.
Me too, Roddy. You're my new soul sister. Love
you. Oh, I love that. Thank you again.
Thank you.
We'll have to do it another time.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining me in this sacred space on your journey to clarity and spiritual growth. If you're at a crossroad in the middle of a life crisis or challenge, try intuitive coaching or book an intuitive or past life reading at intuitiveedge.biz. Enjoyed our time together? Please rate, review, and share this podcast with a friend to spread the magic. Until next time, this is Ronnie Ann Ryan, wishing you love and magic.